You're listening to the King's Church Ringwood podcast. For more information, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.
This morning, I have got the great privilege of kicking off this year's Christmas series. You don't sound excited about Christmas yet. Is it still too early? I must say, me and Laura have already been making our way through the Christmas films. I love it. I love Christmas. It is truly wonderful. And this year, our Christmas series, we're going to be looking at the Christmas characters. And I thought, brilliant. Let's look at some of the characters we never hear about. So we thought, cattle. We could talk about cattle. Or the sheep that the shepherds brought. But alas, it wasn't to be. Rob told me I was being childish. Which is probably true. So, there are a lot more important characters to talk about at Christmas. And over the coming weeks, we're going to hear about quite a few of them. But for me, my job this morning is to talk to you about Mary. This Mary was such an impressive character. And to be honest with you, I couldn't fit everything in. There was too much information. There was too much goodness to be gleaned from her character. But I'm going to give it a go. So if you can open up your Bibles this morning to Luke 1. And I'm going to start at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be called will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Yeah, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for Mary, and I thank you for her awesome character that we're going to look at this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the wise words to say. I pray that you'll help me to speak clearly. And Lord, may we learn from this wonderful character and this wonderful person. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So, the name Mary is one of the most frequently used female names in Western cultures. The name Mary has got more than 20 variations, like Marie, Maria, Miriam, Miri. I didn't know that was a name, but Miri as well. And may I add that Mary has also got a masculine version. We don't get it in this country much, but Mario. Mario derives from Mary. It's brilliant. Who would have thought a Nintendo character would get a mention? But there are so many different names that all derive from the original name Mary. But what surprised me most is that the name Mary only appears 51 times in the New Testament, which is a lot fewer than I thought it would be. So, what has made Mary's name so popular in our culture and in society today? Let's have a look, shall we? Now, we know from our passage that Mary lived in a little place called Nazareth. It was in the region of Galilee, but Nazareth wasn't exactly the place it would be on anyone's bucket list to visit. It was in the middle of nowhere, it was right in the sticks, a bit like Alderholt. I did live there once. I moved as soon as I could. It was a small town. It was thought that the population was only between 500 or maybe to 2,000 people. It was on one of the major trade routes of the time, and it was always full. I say full. There was always people there that used it in a stopgap for their journeys. It was frequently visited by Gentile merchants and members of the Roman army. It was certainly not the place that anyone would have considered that God would use. This was a place that was truly humble in its beginnings. There was no royalty there. There was no high society there. So why? Why then did God use such a place and such a person like Mary? See, Mary's story has influenced cultures all over the world over many generations. Her story brings hope into the world. I think her story is one that can truly inspire us. Her story shows us that even with just a tiny bit of faith and a bit of obedience, that amazing and great things can be achieved. Her character is one that needs to be looked at in detail, and I will try and do it justice. But as I said at the start, her character was so immense that I just couldn't fit it all in. This morning, we're going to be looking at five character traits that I think set her apart from the rest. But before we start looking at her traits, let's look a little bit more at the culture of the time. What would it have been like for Mary in the time that she lived? Now, let's start with the dating scene. Let's just put that out there. Dating for me was between the ages of 15 to 17. Then me and Laura got engaged. We've now been married 11 years. Laura deserves a medal. So, culture, our culture says that you date. You may move in together if you're not Christian. If you are Christian, then actually you'd wait till you're married, but you'd get engaged. There'd be a period of engagement, and then you sign on the dotted line. You get married. That is our culture. Which is very different to Mary's culture. They didn't do dating like we do. In fact, they didn't really date at all. Mary was set apart for marriage from a very early age. She didn't have a choice in who she was to marry. It would have been the choice of her parents. And the same would have been said for Joseph. It would have been his parents that would have put this marriage together. They wouldn't have been dating. They wouldn't have gone out and held hands. They wouldn't have gone to the cinema or the theater or something like that. It just wouldn't have been done. See, Jewish marriage culture is very different to our own. It's very different to what we are used to in our westernized culture. Their culture is so much more stringent and disciplined. And it's much more controlled by the parents rather than the individuals. What I found truly surprising is that Mary would have been only 12 years old when she was betrothed to be married to Joseph. 12! This is so different to what we're used to. At the age of 12, I was still playing football. I never in my thought was the thought of marriage or even betrothal. It just wasn't there. It is such a young age. I just couldn't imagine what it would be like for her. What it would be like to stand in her shoes. The level of maturity that she would have had to have shown in that situation. I know I wouldn't have been that mature at 12. As I said, football was my only aim. Didn't really care about school either, but that's neither here nor there. You see, when their parents got together, there would have been a contract prepared. There would have been a price settled for the hand of Mary in marriage. Once these marriage contracts were exchanged, that is when they were thought to be married in sense of the law. It was immediately binding. But what's interesting is that they wouldn't have been married from that point, even though they were betrothed to each other, even though that they had to be with each other from that point. The law says that they were married, but then is a period of time which is thought to have been about a year, which is called, let me get this right, the testing of fidelity. It's a lapse of time between the betrothal and the ceremony. And it was in this time of testing of fidelity, that people believe that Gabriel visited Mary on that fateful night. I mean, the whole idea of being pregnant by another before marriage was one of shame and social rejection. And in some cases would have resulted in being brought before the elders and being stoned to death. This was not just a little thing that Mary had been asked to do. It wasn't just a small responsibility. If it had gone the wrong way, it would have ended with her life. But that's what's so amazing about Mary's character, is that she stood mature. She sat there, listened, took it all in, and went, okay. I mean, what maturity? I don't think I would have acted like that. I don't think Rob would have acted like that. So let's look at the character of this very special young lady. And the five character traits that I think define who she are is, number one, her faithfulness. Number two, her humble heart. Number three, her purity. Number four, her immaculate obedience. And number five, her worshipful heart. See, such wonderful traits. I can just finish there, but there is so much more to explore. So let's look at the first character trait of her faithfulness. Now, just before our passage in Luke that we read at the beginning, we read about how an angel met Zechariah and the promises the birth of a son to him to be called John. And I'm just going to read this short passage, starting at verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you, to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which come true at their appointed time." See, what I love about Scripture, what I love about God's Word, is that it very often gives you comparisons and contrasts between characters and between people. See, here we've got a passage that I think compares Zechariah to Mary, and I will go through and tell you why. I've lost a page. Hold on. There it is. See, when we read this passage about Zechariah, it almost completely mirrors and compares his character with that of Mary. If you were to take both pieces of Scripture and line them up, you would see that they hold the same structure. And I will run through that structure for you now. See, when the angel appeared to them both, they were both troubled. They were both troubled by the things that the angel said. They were both fearful. And the angel told them both not to be fearful. He told them that it's okay. You do not have to fear me. They were then both told the reason for the miracle that's going to happen. For Zechariah, it was that his prayers would be heard and that he was going to bear a child, or his wife was going to bear a child. And for Mary, it was because that she had found favour with God. She had found favour. I mean, what an amazing thing in itself to find favour with God. And from there, we read that... Angel Gabriel gave them both the names of the children they were going to have. So Angel Gabriel told Zechariah that his son was to be called John, and Mary was told that her son was to be called Jesus. Then Gabriel then tells both of them that their children are going to be great. That John will be seen as great in the eyes of the Lord, and for Jesus it is that he's going to be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Hello? Don't worry, Alan. Then we read about how these miracles are going to take place. They will be by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things will happen. Verse 15 says that John is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from before he is born. And Mary is told that the power of the Most High is going to overshadow her, so that the son that is born to her will be called the Son of God. See, there are so many parallels, and I'll keep going. It goes on to tell us the mission that both of these sons are going to have. For John, we read that he will bring many people back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And for Jesus, we read that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I mean, if I was sat there, and if I was Mary, if I was a different gender, I would be in absolute awe of the things this angel was saying. I'd be like, but me? You've chosen me? I would be in complete disbelief. But not Mary. See, both Mary and Zechariah ask questions of the angel. Zechariah asks out of a place of disbelief. He says, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." See, that was a place where he didn't think it could happen. He was in disbelief. He didn't trust the words that the angel had said. Mary asked just one simple question, and that was, how can this be as I am a virgin? See, I think her question didn't come out of disbelief, but out of a want for the reason as to how it was going to happen. We also read that the angel gives evidence and proof of whose authority he came in, and that was in the power of the God Most High. He said to them both that he brought messages of good news. And they were both reminded that nothing is impossible for God. And the last parallel is that the angel leaves them both with something to think about. See, Zechariah was left muted because of his unbelief. He couldn't talk until the prophecy came to be. He had questioned the possibility of this message coming true. He questioned the power of the Holy Spirit and that of God Most High. For his unbelief, he was left without a voice. In stark contrast to that, we read that Mary was praised for her faithfulness. She was praised because she had faith to believe that God would use her. See, Mary's reply to the angel, I think, is truly astounding. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." That is just what such wonderful words of obedience. It's such wonderful words of the servant heart that she had. See, I think God knew that he could rely on her. He knew that she was the sort of person that would take on any task that he asked of her. Now, I think these two comparisons have been given to us for a reason. They have been given to us so that we understand that when we serve God and are faithful in our serving, that He will bless us for our faithfulness. It gives us a great example of how to live our lives in service to God. See, God is going to call each and every one of us to service, and He already has for many of us. Whether that is serving in church, on the band, PA, teas and coffees, or whether it's serving commission by writing papers or by being part of one of the shore teams. See, it is our willingness to serve that God is going to be pleased with. See, I believe it is because of Mary's faithful attitude that I believe that she was given such a huge task to undertake. The second character trait that I think would be good to look at is that of her humility, her humble heart. When you look up the word humility, you get a good sense of Mary's attitude. To be humble is to have a low or modest opinion of your self-importance. See, now I know if God had chosen me for something like this, I would be the most irritating person to be about. I would be proud, I would be all puffed up, I would be standing tall going, "Me, God chose me for this." In fact, I would even go as far as saying I would be the sort of person that would get a t-shirt written with it on, front and back. I would be intolerable. I know that I would be a person you wouldn't want to be around. You see, Mary was the complete opposite. She had no arrogance in her. She just wasn't arrogant. She didn't think of herself in any other way but humility. She thought of herself as God's servant. Yes, I would think that as well, but I would be so jumped up about it. But no, she carried on in quiet mediocrity and just got on with the task that God asked her to do. See, the other way that she was humble is that of her upbringing. She was brought up in a small town. She was a young girl that had been taken out of complete obscurity. She wasn't of royal blood. She didn't have a castle. I'd like a castle. She just did not have any sort of social standing at all, which made her the perfect candidate for what God wanted to do. See, this is not the first time we read in the Bible of God choosing a person that is both humble and from the depth to bring a great change in society. To bring a change to a society that is failing to stay close to God and His work. We just have to look at characters like Joseph or David from the Old Testament. They both came from lowly standings. They both came from obscurity. You see, when someone is full of themselves or full of their own self-worth, there is no room left in them for what God wants to do. When you think highly of yourself, you are in danger of thinking that you're in a position where you do not need God. See, it can be very easy to become self-reliant and egotistical. And I know that I would be one that would danger in that way. But that is not a character trait that God can work with. God works with humility. He works with the humble. And when you see God for who He truly is, that is when God can use you for mighty things. See, I love the Christmas story, but you've got to remember that the Christmas story isn't about Mary. She was humble in the way that she acted. She was just a mere vessel for the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. I think that as Christians, we can almost venerate Mary or lift her up in a position that she would not be comfortable with. And God certainly would not want her to be there. Yes, Mary was unique among all women, past, present and future. She will be the only mother of Jesus to ever walk the earth. She will be the only mother in history to have an immaculate conception. But that does not put her in a place of worship. It does not put her in a place where we need to pray to her. Jesus himself deflects attention from his mother later in the book of Luke. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. It says, "Once a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb and bore you and breasts and the breasts at which you were nursed. But Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. See, Jesus himself ranks obedience above any other person. He ranks obedience to God's word above anything that you can do. If you venerate yourself, you're obedient to God's word. So Jesus says, blessed is he who keeps the word of God. So please don't get me wrong. It is good to remember Mary for the amazing thing that she did for God. But we should not lift her up and put her on a pedestal. Because if we do, we're in danger of worshipping Mary rather than Father God. Mary is a prominent figure in the Christmas story, and truly, she was magnificent. When we look at her character, her humility really does shine through. It says in verse 48 that God looked on the humble estate of his servant, and that she will be thought of as a blessed woman by future generations. But the amazing thing is that Mary gives all glory back to God. She didn't keep any glory for herself. She stayed in obscurity. She stayed in the humble beginning she started in. Which is exactly what we should do. We shouldn't look to get glory for our works. We shouldn't look for praise for the way that we serve God. Exactly what we need to do. Look to God, give glory to him, point everyone to him, rather than taking anything for ourselves. The next character trait that I would like to look at is that of her purity. See, it was centuries before Mary's Immaculate Conception that she was chosen for such an amazing role. It was prophesied many times throughout the Old Testament that Jesus was to be born of a peasant girl. A virgin girl. That a virgin girl will give birth to the son that will be called Emmanuel. Now we can read this in the book of Isaiah and many other places in the Old Testament. See, Mary's suitability as the mother that was to bear the Son of God is easy to see. Mary's child Jesus was to be holy and blameless and separate from the sin of the world. So Mary herself had to be holy. She had to have a character that was so pure to be able to fulfill such a task given to her by God. We can know that she had such a character by the fact that the angel Gabriel said that God was with her and that she had found favour with God. And that itself shows that she lived a holy life, that she lived a life of worship to God. It was necessary that Mary was a virgin. It had to be an immaculate conception. For God to be able to use Mary to carry his son, she could not have been defiled by man. She could not have had her purity removed by having sexual relationships with a man. It is well known that Adam's original sin is passed down from generation to generation. So to stop this passing down of sinful nature, God had to break the chain by having an immaculate conception through Mary. It is only because of this purity that Jesus can be both fully man and fully God. And that's what I love. That actually God broke the chain of sin. He did it through his son that he sent for each and every one of us. Without that breaking of sin, there would be no hope for us. There would be no hope for future generations. And I thank God for Mary that she was willing to lay aside herself. She was pure in spirit and pure in heart. And that is just truly wonderful. I think of myself, am I pure in heart? Am I pure in spirit? Certainly not. But that is just another piece of Mary's character, which is truly amazing. The next character trait that I'd like to look at is that of her immaculate obedience.
I want to start by asking you a question. How many of us have been asked to do something by God and have tried to put it off, or have said, does that really need to be me, God? Does that really need to be me? Do you really want me to do that? See, I know that God has given me words for people, pictures to bring to the church. And I've got to say, sometimes I've been completely disobedient. I have not brought them. I've sat on them. And sometimes I've just brought them later than I should have done. Or have you ever been in that position in church where God has given you something to bring and you bottle it? But by the grace of God, someone else brings the exact same thing that you were meant to bring. See, that's God's grace in action. That is Him saying, okay, I will use somebody else, but actually, you could have done that for me. It is for that very reason that I look at the character of Mary and think, you were just so obedient. How easy would it be to have been for her to go, I don't want that responsibility. Choose somebody else. See, she made no fuss at all about being given such a huge task. She didn't say to God, just hold on a minute, let me think about that. No, it was immediate. It was immediate obedience. She didn't say to God, yeah, okay, I'll do it, but can you do this for me? No, there was none of that. There was no bargaining. She just went, yes, use me. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now, I think that is a very brave statement. She didn't flutter. She didn't stall. She didn't try and put it off. It's just truly marvellous. As Christians, it can be so easy to be fearful of man. We can be fearful of the world and the things that it's got to say to us. And so often I have used that fear of man as an excuse not to do as God has asked me to. Sometimes I've been fearful of what God has asked me to do. You see, fear gets in the way. Fear gets in the way of obedience. We may not want to look badly in front of other people. We may not want to look bad in front of God. And sometimes that can be the very thing that stops us. Being like a deer caught in the headlights. So you see, we have been given so many examples through the Bible of what it looks like to run away from responsibilities. We see big characters like Jonah, Moses, and even King David getting it wrong and not taking on the responsibilities that God had given them. The truth of the matter is that God can only use us when we are being obedient, when we are willing to do as He asks. We need to be mindful of what we do in our lives. We need to be aware of ourselves and aware of our sinful nature. So often it is us that stops the work of the Spirit in us. I know that it is easy to get tangled up into a life that lives outside of God, what God wants us to do. To get stuck into little sin and repent cycles that just go round and round. I have been there. And I know how hard they are to break. But I will tell you this. I am so glad for the grace of God. He has patience with us. He knows us. He knows that we're human. He knows that sometimes it just takes us a little longer than it should to get something straight in our heads. He is such a forgiving and loving Father that even when we do get it wrong, He is gracious enough to forgive us time after time after time. But our God wants to see us thriving, living in the way that He has called us to, living out our Christian faith and obedience to His word. That's what Mary did. She lived in complete obedience. And the last character trait I'd like to look at is that of Mary's worshipful heart. And let's read Mary's song. Now, Laura challenged me to sing this to you.
but actually I thought you wouldn't be blessed. I'm just going to read it. It says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to his ancestors. What a fitting reply that is to what God has asked her to do. That God chose her. What a fitting reply. This song can be split into two sections. And the first section being of exaltation. Mary lifts her praises to God. She praises him for what he has done in her and will do for her. She thanks God for all of the mighty and wonderful things that he is going to do through her. The second section of this song, I think, is just full of clauses as to why God should be exalted. Why God is so worthy of praise. You see, he remembers those that are humble. His mercy extends to those who fear him. He scatters the proud and arrogant. He has brought down the rulers of this world and exalts the meek and humble. He has helped his people and been merciful to his people, just as he promised Abraham and his descendants. I think this hymn of praise just goes to show what a wonderful, worshipful heart Mary has. I think this song is a perfect example of how we should be with our Father. We should be ready to shout his praises. We should be ready to exalt him at every moment. For he has done wonderful things for each and every one of us. He has saved each and every one of us from ourselves, from our own sinful nature. We should thank him that he has delivered us from the clutches of death. That he has been with us by his Spirit. That he has been with our relatives and our forefathers. We need to thank him for his moves of power in the past, in past revivals. But we need to be praying and looking to him for revivals for the future. We need to thank him for providing for the needy. We need to thank him that his heart is for the downtrodden, the hungry and the destitute. We need to be praying that God will use us just as he has used those in the past. You see, we have got so much to be thankful for. We may not be in Mary's position. We may not have been chosen to give birth to the Son of God. But we have been chosen for his mission in the place that we are in. He has chosen us, King's Church, to make Christ known in Ringwood and beyond. He has given us everything that we need for life. He will provide for every need that we have. So let's keep praising him for all that he has done for us, because he is a mighty and wonderful God. You see, Mary's character can be defined by five major points: her faithfulness, her humble heart, her purity, her immaculate obedience, her worshipful heart. See, Mary is a great example of how to live by faith. She lived her life in complete belief and obedience to God and his scriptures. She lived a life of purity and worshipped God for his hand upon her life. The big question is, what character points define you? Are you willing to live a life full of faith in God and his promises? Do you trust his plan for your life? Do you trust that he's got a plan to prosper you and not to harm you? Are you proving yourself faithful to God and the things that he's calling you to do? Or the things to serve in? Are you remaining humble in heart? Are you staying pure? Are you keeping away from sexual immorality? Are you turning off the telly at the right times? Are you reading the right literature? Are you looking for God to provide for you? Are you being obedient to what God is calling you to? Or are you procrastinating like I do at times and hoping that God will choose someone different? You see, God has done mighty things for each and every one of us. And we need to be living a life of worship to Him who saved us. See, Mary is a truly wonderful Christmas character with a truly godly character. Let's remember her for who she was, the mother of Jesus. But furthermore, let's remember and praise the Father of Jesus, our Lord, our God, for it is Him that deserves the praise and honour above all others. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Our vision is to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. For more information or to give feedback, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.